at the start of the year, we sort of think about the vision for the year. And one of the things I really felt an urgency was, it was to do, I shared a bit of it the week before, with Ezekiel, the Valley of Dry Bones. And it was to look at the Valley of Dry Bones, and the winds of change came, and then an army of the living God was resurrected. But one of the things was, first we need to see the Valley of Dry Bones, that we have as leaders, and we're going to urge the church to walk around the community with eyes open and see the Valley of Dry Bones, if it is affecting our community, if it is bringing a detriment to our community. And once we see the Valley of Dry Bones, then we can speak life in it. And so if always an option, we can walk around community in a nation we are, he'd buried in the sand and think, well, we're all right, so we'll just keep on doing church. Or we can walk around and find out if it is going in our communities, even if it causes us and shocks us. But that cause and that shock would be good if it gave us a burden to pray and the winds of change to see results. And I was just sitting and I had seen a link for City Hearts, and I just had messaged Kirsty saying, hey, really praying about for you guys are about, and if there's ever a time that yourself or one of your colleagues could come and share with the church for yous are doing to deal with human trafficking, then we would love to hear yous. And then she came back and said, well, I'm in the area this Sunday morning if you would like me to come and share. So that is the backstory. So we will hear a bit of the Valley of Dry Bones. It's in our community. And I have sort of, we followed this story as a church for a while. I mind doing fundraisers for Cambodia when Patricia King was working in Cambodia to deal with human trafficking. And we put loads of funds out there as well. And we heard the news reports in Rotherham. I mind praying for Rotherham downstairs. And this is KMR the Y. And it's in Aberdeen as well, and probably even closer. So I didn't think, we can no longer bury our head in the sand and say it's somebody else's problem. We've got to hear for Kirsty as Dean and support her as much as possible. But I've said enough. Kirsty, it's how are you? Thanks for coming. It's such short notice. God bless you.
Now, it's great to be here this morning. It's great that I can manage to speak Scottish as well. So I do apologise if I slip into an English tongue, but I don't really go in, so it's fine. So just a bit of background to where I am. So a lot of you as well ken this. I'm Kirsty Allen. I am Wilson. I am Kirsty Wilson. I used to be Kirsty Allen, which probably makes you as well ken my better for that. I was brought up in Ebroch until I was 22, and I moved to Rotherham. When I was in Ebroch, I was a social worker. It's great to see a few of my colleagues that have been part of my journey the day that's came along. And I decided at 22 I wanted to do something else. I wanted to follow God's call in my life. I'd had an amazing opportunity a few times to go and spend time in the Philippines, but I really felt God was calling me to the area of Rotherham. And the last 8 years have been a complete journey. Kevin just mentioned it just a few minutes ago, about four and a half years ago now, I came out in the news that there was 1,500 children had been sexually exploited in Rotherham alone in a small number of years. And when you look back, there's over 15,000 children that's affected in the last decade in Rotherham alone. And it's been a privilege just to work in that area. But 5.5 years ago, I got involved with an amazing organisation called City Hearts. And I ended up working in Rotherham with pregnant drug addicts for quite a number of years and helping them keep their children and manage to be rehabilitated. And at the time, I got really ill, and I was just asking God, what do you want me to do next? Is it time to move back to the Broch? Is it time to do something new in my life? And just at that point in time, the issue of human trafficking was placed in my heart, and just an amazing set of consequences afterwards that God put me in. I ended up working as an anti-trafficking manager for City Hearts. Now, I had no idea that at this point in time fit human trafficking consisted of, fit it was all about. So it was a massive learning curve. But it's amazing how God puts things in your life, because when I was 18, I had an amazing opportunity to go out to the Philippines, as I said already. And I remember the first day being there and being at the hospital in Santiago City. And I was we walked straight into the gate, and there was a young woman there with two babies, and she just had twins, but she couldn't afford to pay her bill. And she asked us to buy her children for her. And when you look back on things, God places things in your heart. And at that point in time, that was a form of modern slavery, selling children just for gain. And so here we are today, 2019, at the start of a brand new year. And we've got an amazing opportunity as our charity, working. Just now we're working with over 700 people in the UK. And we've started working with people in Glasgow and just about to start working with people in Aberdeen. But 700 people, probably we're on 800 this week, that are in our care, that have been rescued from modern day slavery. Now, a lot of you in here might think, this doesn't happen in Ebroch. It doesn't happen in Aberdeen. It doesn't happen in Scotland. I've never heard of it before. Believe you me, it does. The stuff, the sights that I've seen in the last 5 years blows me away. There's nae a day that goes past that you think, oh, that doesn't shock me anymore. There's days that I just sit in my desk in my office and think, does this actually happen? Is this actually true? And it brings you to tears. Even last week, I was in a situation that I'll speak about a little bit longer that completely broke my heart, that I thought, this is to stop. This is near right. And it's an amazing opportunity to bring Scotland on the journey and see if we can do to stop this from happening. And it's not even about stopping. It's getting the right care to the right people at the right time. And you might just think it happens to women. It doesn't. There's more men in Scotland trafficked just now than there is women. And car washes and labour and industries and the sex industry, it's huge. And there's children that's been trafficked every single day. It's just crazy. And I'll go through a little bit of figures. But our charity decided that we would start. There was people in Aberdeen that was keen to start City Heart. So we was like, okay, we'll do it. So we took a step of faith last year. On the 17th of December, we got the keys to our first safe house in Aberdeen. So we've got an 11-bedroom property. And I wish I could just show you photos of it, but I can't. But it's beautiful. It's the most bonniest house I've ever seen. Well, apart from my mum and dad's, but I like gun him here. So, but it's just a beautiful accommodation. And we've really have been blessed. We've got 11 bedrooms for people to come in and be safe. We have a beautiful conservatory, and we just have been so blessed with what God's given us. And our charity is about pursuing freedom and restoring lives, and that's what we're about. We're about running after people to set them free. Finding them in the places that they're held in darkness and gain a life that will just be restored. Or our tagline used to be called loving people back to life. And that's what it's about, loving people back to where they should be and gain that that they've never been given in their life before. Hopefully a video will come up on the screen just now. It is a bit hard to watch, so I do apologise if it does affect you. But if it does affect you, come and speak to me afterwards and we'll pray for you. But it's I just want to let you see if it actually does happen in this country just now.
I was born in Nigeria. Growing up, I was starved, beaten, and abused. My life was regularly threatened. I ran away in fear of my life. It was there I met a lady who took me in and looked after me. She said she would help me and would take me to the UK for training. I was taken to the north of England. I was forced to sleep with men who regularly came to the house. She told me this was now my life. On many occasions, I became pregnant. When I did, my auntie would give me strong medicines along with a lot of alcohol and use a metal hanger to remove the fetus. At the age of 21, I escaped. or got into a relationship with a man who was controlling and abusive. I became pregnant. I will spend days in the house with my two young children, freezing and with no money for food. I felt I had no choice but to secretly sleep with men to get enough money to eat. Eventually, we were thrown out of the house after the man realized what I was doing. It was then I was referred to City Hearts as a victim of human trafficking. I was in a dark place, being part of a deal with something, always having to be given in return. With the help of City Hearts and counseling, I have gone from survival and just getting through each day to living. I'm living my life and I'm full of hope. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm hopeful. My daughter said to me this morning, "Mommy, you're a superwoman." And I was able to reply, "Yes, I am."
That's just one of the many stories I could share with you this morning. I've got a video later on that just gives a hell picture, if it would be, with men, women, and children and families. And you know, at Woman, I had the privilege of seeing her most weeks, seeing our little girl growing up. She's 10 now, in school and doing so well. She's in a dancing show in a few weeks' time that we'll all go and watch as a staff team. And it's amazing to see that family unit just being restored. And it's without the help of people like you and heaps of other people around the globe that help us make this happen, because it's a hard thing. For that little girl that was trafficked and her mum, there's a 2-year waiting list for counselling. And we've managed to raise enough funds to get counselling as soon as they come into the safe house to try and rebuild their life so they have got a future and they have got something to look forward to. So, why, Aberdeen, you thought that didn't happen here? It does. There is over 80 brothels on Union Street alone, believe it or no. It's nae just a street that you go shopping on. There's hidden things that nobody kens fit's gone on here, just now. In the last 3 months, there's been 50 adults rescued in Scotland, which is huge, but it's nae enough. There needs to be so much more people rescued at the minute. And a shocking 14 bairns were rescued just before Christmas in Scotland alone. 14 might seem small in the grand scheme of things, but nobody really cares about it. I'm probably sent to a congregation this morning for maybe 15 years kent that it did happen in Scotland, and you are completely shocked that it's happening. But last year, there was 158 adults that were rescued in Scotland and 34 kids that were rescued. It's almost 200 folk that were rescued in Scotland alone last year. And that's nae enough, that's nae all the figures that have came back in yet. But it's happening in Scotland, it's happening on our doorstep. And you might just think it's people nae for this country that's being trafficked in the UK and in Scotland. It's UK folk as well. I've got a privilege of working with someone. Her name's Jane, and she was trafficked at the age of 13. And she's from the UK. She's the most beautiful person that I've ever met in my life. And she was 13, up until the age of 13 to 22, she was trafficked. She was teamed from place to place, to city. And when she was 18, she managed to run away. Her mom and dad sent her to university. So when she went to university, the traffickers found her again. And on her 20th birthday, she ended up in a car park being set alight. And thankfully, somebody came across and found her, and she's got the most horrific injuries. But today, she works with Princess Eugenie, working for her human trafficking organisation. She speaks to the highest people and royalty and the government to say, this is a voice of survivors. And it's amazing that the journey that she's been in, and I remember the day she came in on the day of my birthday, and she just was so unresponsive. Like, I went and checked in her room, and she just wanted to end her life. And she had an overdose that day. And I ran up the stairs to get the ambulance, and on my Wydoon, I tripped on the Wydoon and fell. And she's never let me forget that day that she nearly broke my leg on the day of my birthday. But she's an amazing person, and she's done so much, and she has put God first in her life. And it's been amazing to see her story of restoration. So what can we do to help? Most of us would go through Aberdeen every week to do our shopping. Get on board and volunteer. So much stuff that people can get involved in. We hope to progress for charity here as well, to a men's house as well. But just know there's jobs that people, men can get involved in. There's support work that women can get involved in. And hopefully we'll start a rescue programme where we go out in the streets in the near future and find people that are being trafficked in Aberdeen. So I just want to show you a video before. I just shared a bit of a challenge with you this morning. Hopefully it'll pop up on the screen just now.
At my lowest point, I was an alcoholic using drugs and involved in prostitution, which resulted in me not being able to parent my children. At this point, I had no hope for the future and felt I had no other option other than to kill myself.
I was hopeless because I don't know how I can get help from different organizations and where I can find, you know, people who give me hope, who can give me protection, security, because I'm feeling scared.
I'd hit my lowest point when I was a university student. Daily, I was starving myself, binging, purging, and self-harming, and I couldn't see the point in life anymore.
One night in 2013, I was kidnapped from Sri Lanka. I was kept in a room, blindfolded, shackled and nickeled. I was given one meal a day and sexually and physically abused all day, every day.
Gave me a safe place to deal with the causes of my alcohol addiction, which enabled me to keep my younger son in my care. 7 months on from graduating, I'm celebrating 2 years without relapse and parenting Malachi.
City Hearts is a different organization who can give me protection, hope for life.
Of hard work, love and support, I'm coming towards graduating the City Hearts program.
I was brought to City Hearts. I feel very safe for the first time in my life. They give me strength to live my life again.
That's just some of the short stories that we can share with you this morning. Just an update on two of that people. So Sonny is now an assistant manager in the co-op in England. He has entered into our programme with the co-op. We 2 years ago, we partnered with the co-op to provide a job opportunity for everybody that has been rescued for human trafficking. And Sonny is now an assistant manager. He loves his job. And he just got engaged. He's getting married soon. And he's just got an amazing future. And Henny is an amazing young woman. She was brought over as a prisoner of war and used in a horrific way. I've never seen somebody with so much horrific injuries in their life as a result to their human trafficking situation. And when that happened, her and her husband got separated and they'd not seen each other for 7 years. And an amazing thing happened that we managed to get in touch with the British Red Cross and They managed to find her husband, and last year they were reunited in London, and they've now got a house in London, and they're settled there, and they're expecting their first child, and it's just an amazing story that seeing the after side of the mess that they come in, and it's just amazing. But when I was thinking this morning, I wanted to speak to you and challenge yourselves. Just as Kevin mentioned earlier on, and Gilbert was saying through his worship, but I wanted to speak to you about the prisons that we find ourselves in this morning. Last year, I preached the same message, and I just thought I was going to speak on something completely different this morning, but it was so appropriate to what we're speaking on this morning, and it links into Fit City Hearts is in Fit It's Dean, but how can we enable ourselves and how can we start the year right by getting out of the prison cell that we find ourselves in? I'm just going to read for Acts 16 in a minute, but I'm just going to set the scene to you. Paul and Silas were missionaries in the Bible, and they were going out and doing mission trips, just as this church does. I love seeing on Facebook and the internet a fit the church does in the community here in Fraserburgh. It's amazing, it's inspiring. And they were excited. They were excited about doing the Lord's work. And Silas was Paul's wingman on a mission field. He was just about to go out on the mission trip for the first time, and they were really excited. They were living in so exciting days in that time in the Bible. And they just had arrived in Macedonia, and this was Paul's second mission trip there. So I'll just read for chapter 16 in Acts. Verse 16, it says, "One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved.' This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out.' And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth were now shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in an uproar because of these Jews. They shouted to the city officials, 'They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice.' A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten and then thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they didn't escape, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see all the prison doors open. He assumed that the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself, but Paul shouted to him, 'Stop, don't kill yourself, we are all here.' The jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and then he brought them out and asked, 'Sir, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, along with everybody in your household.' And they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. Even at the hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everybody in the house were immediately baptized. He brought them into the house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they believed in God. And the next morning, the city officials sent the police to the jailer, 'Let those men go.' So the jailer told Paul, 'The city officials have set you and Silas free to leave and go in peace.'" You know, I was really stirred with this passage because I thought to myself, there's places in our lives where we all end up in some sort of prison that we find it so hard to get out of. You know, I've been across different places in the world, and I've seen different prisons, and I've seen different prisons that people live in their own house, and the walls haven't fallen down yet. And you'll, yourself this morning, you'll ken that there's a place in your life that you're stuck. There's a place in your mind where you're stuck that you can't get out yet. But how can we find, like Paul and Silas did, to praise God in the middle of our storm, in the middle of our prison? You know, prisons can be a variety of different things. You know, a definition of a prison is a building in which people are legally held as a punishment for a crime that they have committed or while awaiting trial, but some of us are holding the crimes in our life, in our minds, stuff that have happened to us in the past, stuff that things that we have done that are stuck in our mind, things that have went on in our lives, relationships that have broken down, just stuff that shouldn't have been there, stuff that has affected us in our lives that have held us captive, that we can't move forward. And it's a place where we become stuck. It's a place that we can't move forward. And there's not much light. It's quite dark in that place. But in that place, it's a place of waiting. It's a place where we're waiting for a new day, for somebody new to come alongside you and walk that journey so you can walk out of that prison, that you're waiting for your trial, that you're waiting for release. It's a place of waiting in your prison cell. You know, as I said earlier on, I've had a privilege of going to the Philippines a couple of times, and one of the pictures here is a prison cell in the Philippines, and it's really, really cramped. Like, this was taken a lot of years ago, but there was up to about 50, 60 people in one cell. Some of you will see it face to face when you've been there yourselves, but it really reminded me that it can be a really cramped place in our mind if we're stuck in a prison cell in our mind, because we can have so much things gone on here that we can't move forward, that we're nae released because we're nae praising God in the middle of it. But when Paul and Silas were on their mission trip, they had just had helped to get a girl set free. They had tried to help somebody, and they ended in a prison themselves, and they felt themselves getting beaten, stripped down naked, and in the Bible it says that they were beaten with a stick. And you know what I thought? While they were trying to help somebody, they ended up in a prison themselves. You know, sometimes we can end up completely embarrassed and completely stripped and naked because of what's gone on in our mind, that we're left with nothing, that we're left in that place where we need to develop a praise, develop something that's going to get us out of there. You know, our mind can be such a small place, but it can be something that's so damaging. Like, the people that I work with, when they come in, first of all, like that girl, Henny, she had no hope. She was just living to die, basically. Every morning, she said, "Is it the end yet? I just want to die." Many times we had to stop it. Just before Christmas, the day before I came up the road, I was just getting out the car and I heard a scream, and I was just walking out in the office. And there was this woman that has been in our safe house for 2 years after she's been rescued, but she'd been trafficked for 32 years of her life. She'd not seen her family for 32 years, and I didn't even want to think about what's happened to her in that 32 years. But as I got out the car, I heard a scream, and I just turned around and I seen her lying down in the middle of the busiest road in Sheffield. And I managed to pull her off the road. And I managed to just save her and name her and waited until the ambulance came, and now she's safe. But our minds can be so destructive to fit God's got for our lives, because it can stop the plan of fit God's got for you. But the minute that we start to realize that there's somebody else fighting for us, and the minute that we realize that somebody has already gone before us in our journey, the minute that we begin to understand that somebody was actually beaten for us, that's the second that we believe that somebody's died for us and there is an escape from our prison. How can we not praise him for that this morning? He's done so much amazing stuff for us. You know, when we begin to praise in the darkest hour, in the darkest second of our prison cell, we find it the strength to start to believe that God's got more for us, that God's got something for us, that there is a reason for this storm, there is a reason for this prison. And even in the darkest place, and even in the tiniest prison cell, we can get out of there by praising God. You know, in that moment when we praise him, when we worship him, when we sing louder, we know that there's somebody greater than us, in us. And in that minute we need to fight, we know that he's going to fight us for us. We know that he's going to get us out of that prison and find and tear down that walls that are in our lives that need to come down. You know, some of us need earthquakes in this room today to shift things in our life so we can walk in freedom. You know, just like Paul and Silas was in that prison cell and they experienced that earthquake so they could walk free and walk in deep that God wanted to be in their lives. He took an earthquake out of their life so that he could be free, so they could live out the calling in our lives. And that's what needs to happen this morning. You can, every time there's an earthquake, there's a cleanup that happens. And that's what needs to happen this morning. There's a cleanup in our life. There's a rescue mission that needs to happen before we can move forward with what God's got for our lives. It may be serving and giving and praying for City Hearts. It may be doing something in your own life that needs to change. Everybody's got stuff. I've got stuff. You've got stuff that needs to happen so we can walk in freedom and do exactly what God's called us to do. We need that freedom in our lives this morning. You know, but we didn't just need it. Others need our freedom. There's a reason why we've been put in prisons in our mind. There's a reason why we've been through the storms. In verse 28, just as the jailer was about to kill himself, the real reason why the prison doors was revealed to him and his destiny changed in that minute. You know, Paul and Silas shared their miracle. And by sharing their miracle, his life changed and his family's life changed and his community's life changed in that point in time. You know, we need to share our stories. We need to hold out so we've got a story so people's lives can change in about us. You know, our stories are about to open prison doors. The secret stuff that's happened in your life, the painful things that have happened in your life, it's all for a reason. Because I guarantee you in a few years' time, you'll meet somebody that's been through the same thing as you. And you can help them get out of that prison. You know, so much power in stories. You know, we can listen to people's testimonies and journeys all day long because there's power in a changed life. There's power in somebody's changed life. There's power in the stories that I've changed you because it's moved you. It's thought, I want to do something. Or I hope it has. I hope that it's opened your eyes to the world of human trafficking. But there's power in a story, and there's power in the story of this, like even household salvation this morning. If you're holding out for that this morning, if you're holding out for salvation in your family this morning, that story and acts with the jailer's family being saved completely because of one change of destiny, it's powerful this morning. And it says to go in peace. You know, live out your lives in peace. Claim that prison, it's name we are. At prison in your life, it's near me. It's near something that's holding you captive anymore. You know, these stories that we've listened to this morning, they're living in peace. It'll come back and haunt them from time to time. But they know the truth, and they know that they've been set free this morning. You know, it's so important this morning as we get ready to help, as we get ready to defit the churches moving into this year. It's ready that we sort ourselves out and get out of the prisons that are holding us back. The stuff that we keep secret, the stuff that nobody else needs to ken. Like, this corner especially, nobody tells nobody nothing. It's just something that you didn't tell. But it's important that one-on-one, you share what God's taking you through. Because there's victory in your story. There's victory in a battle. So whatever you're going through just now, whatever painful thing, whatever hard thing, God's got it. It's for a reason and it's for a purpose. And he's going to bring you through. And it's for a reason because at painful time, it's going to become a victory, a triumph story. It's going to change somebody else's life. It's going to change somebody else's outcome. So wherever you're at this morning, start to praise him in your prison. Start to thank him for everything he's done in your life. And if you want to get involved in City Hearts, like us on Facebook, look at our website. We're having some fundraising stuff going on in this year. And if you can't give, you know, every penny helps. Anything helps at the minute. You know, we've just taken on this amazing house, but we're stepping out in faith to see if God's going to bring us through in Aberdeen and fit the stuff, the resources that we need to put in place, the staff members that we need to employ to see men, women, and children set free. You know, one of the stories I'll share with you, it was just happened last Wednesday night. It was my first day back at work, and there had been a few problems with a particular family that we'd been working with, and I'd said, I'll pop up and watch what's been going on CCTV, because a lot of the houses are monitored, and I was a 12-year-old boy that had been rescued for trafficking. And he was just 12. And I noticed on the video, every night for the last week, he'd been going out on his little bike, dressed in black, with a rucksack on. And I found out that he'd been stealing to give back money to sell things for his traffickers because they were still wanting money for them. He wasn't free yet. It took me in that moment in time that I needed to get down on my knees and speak to that little boy and tell him he had a future and tell him that people have made it before him, people that have been made to DS. And that was the only way that he was going to believe. I asked him what he wanted to do. He said to me he didn't want to have a job when he got up because he was just going to DS. This was his reality. This was how he was going to do. I said, but fit is it you really want to do? He said, I want to get a job. I says, well, if you didn't stop doing this, you're going to end up in prison. And he changed. He says, I need to stop. So we got him into a safe place. We got him in some way that he'll hopefully do well. He just left last week to go to a place that's going to help him properly. But it's places like that we need to position ourselves in. I'm pretty sure there's 10, 20 little boys and girls in the Brough, in the surrounding areas, that are in the same position as him, that are lost, that gets themselves into situations that you might not think trafficking, that you might not think slavery, but it is. If we could just open our eyes and see if it's gone on, it would scare you, but it's important to be scared so we can move into action. We've got to be ready that when these things are exposed in our towns and our communities, that we're ready to start caring for them. We're ready to start taking them into our communities, because we know that over every therapy that's available, over every doctor that's available, there's nobody greater than the greatest physician, and that's Jesus. And that's Jesus. It's the only person that's got to be the light and the salvation in their life. So I just thank you for hearing me this morning. It's been a privilege to see a lot of old faces and a lot of old pals. And just journey with us and pray for us as we move forward and expanding the provision up in Scotland.
Firstly, thank you, Kirsty. Jesus only ever said two things about his end character. There was a lot of metaphors, and he says, I'm the bread of life, and different things. But the two things he said about his end character was, I am gentle and humble at heart. And if I hear you share, you've just got that about you, Kirsty. You are gentle and humble in heart, and the stories that you've heard would affect us all in different ways. But your greatest strength, I believe, is your gentleness and your humility. And the world looks on and think gentleness and humility is the church's greatest weakness. But Jesus says, and should always be part of his church, keep that gentleness, keep that humility. Gentleness exposes us when we hear stories to that feeling or disappointment that the world could be so bad. But it's that that God uses people that carry that spirit to mark at winds of change. And so thanks for sharing. In just a moment, we're going to pray for you. And I'm going to pounce on Ruth to pray for you. So your best prayer, Ruth, so start reciting it in your head. The reason I'm going to ask Ruth to pray for you is Ruth has carried for a long time a heart for them trapped in slavery. It was her that got us in contact with Cambodia and things like that. So it's them that carry the burden that will see it through. And we're going to take up a love offering in a second, but we're going to praise, as Kirsty rightly says. Let's have a time of praise as well. But we are going to, because this was last minute, we usually take up a love offering and then we announce it and then we pass it on that day or that evening. We're going to extend it through the week, so that folk that haven't came prepared have got time to get into City Heart, and then we can pass it on. So you can contact me or just put through the office door, church office or the church door. Or I could pick it up if you want. I could do a pick-up service. I could pick up your cash to pass it on. But I think it's fair to keep people a week to really think and pray and see if God is laying on your heart to give. And as well, like them on Facebook, they are looking for volunteers. I'm not sure the full extent of the work that needs done to us. Who said I can if it's something that one or two could get involved in? But let's keep in contact, Kirsty, with everything that goes on. And we're going to ask Ruth just to pray in a second. But this, to help, it always takes a burden. And God just sometimes puts something on our heart that we would call a burden. It happened with Gordon, with Sonny Bray, with Benaya. At Disney Start, we just, we've got a good idea. Let's go and help people. It's like a Holy Ghost burden within that we see that there's dry bones. And by the sound of it, there's a lot more dry bones than we would like to think would happen in this wonderful town, this wonderful community, in the wonderful United Kingdom. If we open our eyes, as Kirsty says, there's stuff going on, and we need to be exposed to this stuff with a gentle and humble heart and see how we can help. And the question that God asked Ezekiel was, can these dry bones live again? And to hear stories, oh, life's turned around, loving people back to life. The church should be on board with this 100%. And as I said at the start, is the FCC going to wipe out human trafficking worldwide? No. But can we be a solution for one, for two, for the tens, for the twenties? We can be part of the solution if we partner with different churches, organizations, and our lives can make a difference because God has chosen us. We're royal priesthood. We're near the tail, we're the head, and God has put on the church with a gentle and humble heart, with its resources to help at least one person's life during our lifetime. And I think we should prayerfully consider our thing that's been said. I've seen a lot of notes. I'm going to go away. I'm going to pray through it. I'm going to ask the leaders to pray through if it can be practically or prayerfully as well, but we can add something. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to ask then Kirsty to come up and Ruth to pray, if that's okay, Ruth. Thank you. Ruth's got a gentle and humble heart as well. But God bless you. Let's stand. I'm going to ask Ruth to pray. Why do you know, if you're able, stretch forth your hands towards Kirsty.
I think Joyce and Billy should come out and act because they're mom and dad.
I'm going to tell you.
No, I'll call my. Because you
are important. Just say something. I'm not good at speaking, but just want to compliment you guys. There was a guy walk down and give my daughter a drink of water or coffee. A guy I've known 35 years, I would say. And his wife, Pat, has probably prayed for him more than that time. And you as a fellowship this morning has extended a hand in love, and it's by that love that draws people to salvation. Amen. And that's a credit to you guys here this morning. And I've worked with Martin, and he this morning should hold his head up high and be proud of where he is, praying for his family as years goes on, as Pat well knows. And as I was speaking to Charlie, God doesn't answer sometimes when we think he should answer. We sometimes don't have the patience, but we have to push on through. And this morning, I had it in my heart to say something, but I wouldn't have come out. Ruth asked us out. And it's probably spurred me on to say, because I'm not just the best of speakers, but hey, I would like to just congratulate you guys this morning for the love that you're showing. And even just coming down and giving somebody a drink of water, you've no idea, just something little like that, that it can speak into somebody's life.
Amen. Ruth.
Amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, I just pray. Church, just feel how Jesus feels. Just feel Jesus' heart when he...
for his bitterness. Just close your eyes. Just want you to feel his heart and how his heart feels for his parents. And his heart's broken. We have to do something, George. And even if it's just getting a glass of water in the name of Jesus. Gosh, do we just pray for city hearts, and you're just representing city hearts. And I just pray a protection over you. I pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit will just come and consume you and will protect you. Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you will just lead them far you want them to go. I pray that you will take city hearts by the hand and that you will lead them down the streets and down the alleys and down the lanes and into the houses and into, I see, caravans, into the buildings and the shacks. I pray that you will lead them by the hand to the right places. I pray that this year I will not be on any deed stops or deed ends, but I will not be on any false paths or wrong leads, but you will lead them to exactly where you want them to go in the name of Jesus. I pray that I will not be any wasted time, but Lord Jesus, I pray that every rescue will be done in your time, Lord Jesus, and that you will lead them. You will lead them to far you want to go. And Kirsty, I just see you as being led just by the hand. I just see you, Jesus, and he's leading you. He's in front of you, and he's preparing a way. He's gone before you, and he's taking you by the hand, and he's taking you to far you need to be, and he's marking a way for you. And he's saying, "Dinna be afraid, dinna worry, I've got you." And there's bands of angels running about you, protecting. And the Lord's saying he's going to lead you, and it's going to be his time, and he's going to take you in his time to far you need to be. Lord Jesus, we just claim us, our Kirsty and our team, Lord. We thank you for our heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for our mom and dad. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, I see his Billy and Joyce as like an engine room, and your prayers and your fire, this is like putting coal in the fire, and the engine is going, and Billy and Joyce, I just pray a protection over you two and I pray for strength. I pray that the joy of the Lord will be your two strength, and I pray for your man, Kirsty John. I pray that the joy of the Lord will be his strength, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for them, Lord, as a unit, Lord Jesus, and as a family, they've been through us, Lord Jesus, and I just see your mom and dad just putting call on, and every prayer that you say, Lord, every prayer that you say, Lord, saying he hears it, and it is adding more coal onto the fire, and it is keeping Kirsty's engine going, and City Heart's engine going. In church, that's for us as well. We need to be the fire. We need to be the engine room behind us. We need to start praying into us. We need to start praying for City Hearts and for folk. It's rescuing folk. We need to start prayer. And every prayer that we pray is going to be putting coal into the fire and keeping that engine going like a great big steamship going through the waters. And Lord Jesus, we just claim us, Lord. We just pray. Protection, protection, protection. But I just see you, Kirsty, as you're doing your job, just smiling. And Lord saying, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he is going to lead you. There's times he's going to have to carry you, but he's got you. And he's got good plans. And he says, thank you, Kirsty, for taking that step. Thank you for being brave. Thank you for going for it. And he's got you. He's got you. Lord Jesus, I bless you. I thank you, King Jesus, in your name. Oh, amen.
Amen. Well done, Ruth. Well, that was a wonderful prayer for Ruth as she got started. That was a heart melter. But let's give our prayers and offerings to King Jesus. We've got to take up our tithes and offerings. Anything that is now designated to the church through envelopes will be given to City Hearts. But thanks again, Kirsty. We're thinking of John as well, but for Billy and Joyce, and thank you, Billy, for your kind words. As family, Mark, it's so easy for you to love him. I've kept this family I would still consider them good friends, even though we're not in touch on a weekly basis. Me and Joyce shared almost an office corridor together. We had a lot of fun times, sometimes at other folks' expense, but it's all right, isn't it? Secret, I don't tell anybody else, right? But we're going to lift up our praises to King Jesus. But thank you so much for coming, Abdi. And another last-minute announcement, it is Judah's dedication next week, next Sunday morning, Judah Patterson's dedication. So please come along to that as well. Okay, let's sing our praises as we take up our offering.